Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, Frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Stu does America.
Election is heating up. Stay up to date with the State of the Race podcast. It's free wherever you get your podcast. Just go to the Stu does America feed and subscribe there. You'll get this show and you'll get State of the Race as a bonus pod just for you. YouTube.com/Stu does America is another place you can go to check out our content, including a fancy new thing called Fanny Calls. You're going to really like that. Go check it out. You can click on it right now if you want to check it out. It is a Fannie Willis situation you're going to absolutely like. David Harsanyi is going to join us to share some thoughts about the economy and the free market. We've got a new Fannie Calls thing I was just mentioning. You're going to like that as well. And we'll show you a clip of that maybe coming up later on in the show. But we start by doing the slander of Samuel Alito. This has been firing up me up for a while, and I almost did this as a monologue multiple times and never got around to it. I don't know, something always popped in the way, but it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Can we get some dose of sanity returning to this country? It all started about a week ago with this headline from the New York Times. At Justice Alito's house, a Stop the Steal symbol on display with this photo of a flag flying upside down. Now, I've seen the flag fly upside down many, many times, many of them before January 6th, many of them before Stop the Steal was a thing. It was always like, oh, a nation's under distress, a generic symbol of the nation under distress. That's how I always understood it for years and years and years and years and years. You'd see it sometimes at protest. You'd see it around. Of course, they're trying so hard to tie it to January 6th and Stop the Steal. They put Stop the Steal in the headline, like as if it was a Stop the Steal flag, like it was created for that event, which, of course, it was not. They have been used as a symbol of distress of the country for a very, very long time. And of course, if you think January 6th was bad, which, by the way, I do, I think it was bad. It was a bad day. Most people did think that, even if, you know, we're a little tired and roll our eyes a little bit at, you know, it's the new Civil War or whatever. It's the worst thing since the Civil War. You can roll your eyes at that and still think it was a bad day. And I think, I don't know, flying a flag indicating the distress of the country sounds mildly appropriate after the January 6th. I mean, whether you thought the election was stolen or you thought a bunch of people broke into the Capitol building to overthrow democracy, country in distress was a pretty good summary of either one of those positions, frankly. So seems like it was kind of appropriate there. But of course, the New York Times mentions the headline and in the headline, Stop the Steal, trying to get your brain to tie that flag only to Stop the Steal, even though we know this is not how it's been used in the past. And of course, the New York Times, trying to hide that they're being biased, does eventually mention that. I kid you not, in paragraph 19 and 20 of the article, January 6th, Stop the Steal, right up front, paragraph 19 and 20, you get this. Turning the American flag upside down is a symbol of emergency and distress, first used as a military SOS, historians said in interviews. In recent decades, it has increasingly been used as a political protest symbol, a controversial one because the flag code and military tradition require the paramount symbol of the United States to be treated with respect. So, okay, a bunch of right-wingers have been using it as a protest symbol before this. That doesn't make any point. Of course, he's still guilty of being an evil right-winger. Is he? How can you even tell? Over the years, upside-down flags have been displayed by both the right and the left, as an outcry of a range of issues, including the Vietnam War. How many decades are we going back here, boys and girls? The Vietnam War, gun violence, the Supreme Court's overturning of the constitutional right to abortion, which never really existed. In particular, election results. In 2012, Tea Party followers inverted flags at their homes to signal disgust at the re-election of President Barack Obama. 4 years later, some liberals advised doing the same after Mr. Trump was elected. So both sides basically do this whenever they're pissed off at something, okay? We know, for example, no one was arguing that Barack Obama's election was stolen right from John McCain. There's zero people who argued this. That wasn't a thing in 2008 or 2012. Frankly, people just said Mitt Romney lost. In fact, it seems like Democrats are the ones that always say the election is stolen, at least everyone that's ever occurred in my entire adult lifetime. Every single time. George W. Bush in 2004. Of course, Donald Trump in 2016. For years, they said this was Russian influence. They are still saying it. The basis of the Trump trial with Stormy Daniels is, again, it's multiple steps to get you there, but this is what they're trying to do. They are outside of the statute of limitations. To get inside the statute of limitations, they have to tie to another crime. What they are saying the other crime is an attempt to overthrow the election, to win the election illegitimately in 2016, which, by the way, they won. They're telling you they think, at least partially, that the election may have been stolen by Donald Trump's business records. I mean, it's the dumbest thing in the world. Let's be honest about it. But the point is, they're still maintaining this theory today. Look, this is the part of our country, unfortunately. Whenever somebody loses, they think it was stolen. That's just part of it. It's every Lakers fan you've ever known. You know, LeBron James doesn't get the calls, right? It's just true. It's just the way this works right now. And it's going to probably continue this time no matter what, unless it's another blowout type Obama-McCain election. Now, all of this goes down, and this is just nonsense. They're going after him nonsensically. OK, he did nothing wrong. And by the way, his answer to this was there was a dispute in the neighborhood where people were putting up signs targeting Alito, and Alito's wife did this flag for, it seems like, a day. Really not even a story, frankly. And it had nothing to do, seemingly, with Samuel Alito, although I guess you could be skeptical of that explanation. Regardless, that is where we are with part one of the story. Then part two of the story happens later. Leading Democrats demand Alito faced investigation after second report of far-right linked flag. What is that story? It's again from the New York Times, who has just taken this. This is just their thing now. They're just taking pictures of houses and looking for flags. Very, very exciting profession. Another provocative flag was flown at another Alito home. The Justice's Beach House displayed an Appeal to Heaven flag, a symbol carried on January 6th and associated with a push for a more Christian-minded government. Now, again, January 6th, right up front, right? This is what it was. This is, by the way, this is a picture of the flag from a distance. It was flagging. He wasn't hiding it. He actually put it on literally a flagpole for people to see. So not really being hidden. It was to be seen. However, if you look closely in this crowd right here, look at this crowd. January 6th, what do you see? You see a couple of the pine tree flags right in the middle. Now, of course, you see hundreds of flags, and there's two of them that are pine trees. This is not a I think I remember this from history class. I don't remember seeing it at all at any of the many Tea Party rallies I went to. Don't remember seeing it on TV during January 6th. Don't remember ever seeing it even in photos, but there it is. It did apparently get carried by at least two people. But what does that mean? I mean, like, the fact that it's like saying, well, the American flag was also being flown by Alito, and that was also being carried by January 6th truthers. Does that mean that he's guilty of being at the rally? I don't know. I did catch this, however. They didn't notice this, by the way, the New York Times. But if you see, look very closely, you can see I circled it in red there, another flag that says 2022. Why is that flag flying? Well, we now know that was the year that Russia invaded Ukraine. Mm-hmm. In support of Vladimir Putin, just like we knew it. Actually, it's a Phillies flag, and I don't know if he's an Eagles fan, I will say. I don't know if he's an Eagles fan. I have a flag that has the final score of the Super Bowl, 41-33 over the Patriots, that I fly at my home. But what I will say is, you know, I kind of respect the Phillies flag there because they lost that World Series. So you like the fact that the guy's like, we lost the World Series. Screw it. I'm still flying the flag. That's a real fan. It's a real fan. So anyway, I don't know. I thought that was pretty impressive. But the story is so incredibly stupid. The fact that he has a flag that was also at other times held by people at a rally that there's no evidence he agrees with whatsoever. That's a news, forget even a news story, a front page push alert story from the New York Times. They are trying to destroy this guy and every other justice for absolutely no reason, because they don't like the rulings he gives on the Supreme Court. The National Review had some of the history here. Dan McLaughlin has a story you should check out. Don't look now, but the Alito flag story got even dumber. If you don't know the history of this flag, it's pretty simple. The flag was designed in 1775 by Colonel Joseph Reed, Washington's personal secretary at the time, specifically commissioned by George freaking Washington himself. It evoked a New Hampshire riot against the British tree regulations. It remains to this day the official maritime flag of Massachusetts, though without the slogan, which says, what is it? A look to heaven, an appeal to heaven. It is. I'm sorry. We should look into whether Massachusetts can really be trusted, says Dan McLaughlin. It might be secretly in league with Washington and the revolutionary government he founded. As the Times acknowledges, couched in ominous tones, the flag slogan comes from the 17th century philosopher John Locke, like Enlightenment John Locke. That's controversy now in the United States of America. And Noah Rothman asked the question, are the symbols of American patriotism all right wing? Because it seems like now whenever there's just a symbol of patriotism, somebody who's right wing is carrying it, you can tie anything to the evil right wing. Look, Sam Alito is not like some guy. He's not just some dude who, like, flies flags whenever he sees them. He's a Supreme Court Justice of the United States. He's got a real history understanding this stuff. One of his longtime clerks, Hannah Smith, told C-SPAN in 2005, he's a real history buff. I believe that is a major focus of some of his studies in college. He majored in history. He loved history. So when you look at his bookshelves, you'll see a lot of history books. It's true. Of course, it would be odd, right, if he didn't understand what these flags were from the beginning of the country. The man is shrouded in constitutional history his entire life. Of course he understands this stuff. But Noah Rothman points out, do you remember when the Gadsden flag, also right-wing propaganda? Do you remember the Betsy Ross flag with the Colin Kaepernick shoes? Glenn's got a pair of those in his library. They pulled them off the market because the flag was offensive. I don't need to remind you about 2020 when they started tearing down statues of people like Ben Franklin and Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. They are trying to destroy our history. They want the flag taken down. They're taking knees when looking at it. I mean, we know what they're doing to history, to all of our patriotic symbols, and that is a real problem. It does get even dumber from here, of course. This one is a particularly great example of it. Jesse Wegman, there's no sense of shame in the Supreme Court. And the question from the New York Times, does Clarence Thomas love his wife too much? Because you can look at the Alito stuff and say, okay, well, this is crazy, but it's really recent. But remember, ProPublica has been doing a series of reports for a very, very long time trying to smear Clarence Thomas in basically the same way, saying, hey, he's taking flights with his friends and going on vacations with his friends, and they're paying because they're rich. That means he has to recuse himself from anything that has to do with dollars or something really stupid is basically their argument. But if you thought that they would not go to the dumbest possible place, let me give this to you from Noah Rothman. The need to establish some link between the conduct that should, according to New York Times editorial board member Jesse Wegman, compel Thomas to recuse himself from Trump-related cases and Alito's alleged offense, produced what I'm confident ranks as one of the most embarrassing sentences the Times has ever published. Stop for a second. This is a publication that was denying mass murders around the globe. These are people, this is a publication that X'd out the Holodomor as if it wasn't happening. And when you're talking about competing for the dumbest sentences in the history of the publication, that's saying something. Here it is, quote, Justice Thomas's extreme closeness with his wife, he has described them as being melded into one being, raises similar doubts about his ability to be impartial. His extreme closeness with his wife? We now want to have justices recuse themselves from these stories because they're close to their wives. It's true. He says, get that extreme closeness? a degree of marital devotion well beyond that which Americans should tolerate in their Supreme Court justices. Thomas's judgment cannot be trusted. Indeed, he appears to be breaking federal law by virtue of failing to maintain an arm's length relationship with his own wife. Their suspect closeness must be seen as the most observable sign of a nefarious plot to undermine the separation of powers. I mean, he's mocking the New York Times piece, but they really did complain about the extreme closeness of a man and his freaking wife. Another part of this is, if, let's just say, Samuel Alito's wife believes the election was stolen, she believes January 6th was completely justified in every way. There's no sign of this whatsoever. This is a hypothetical. But let's say she did believe that. Guess what? So? It might be a reason for her not to be on the Supreme Court. But she is a different individual than her husband. And I don't know, I feel like the women's lib movement kind of would point this out to us often. Isn't this something we were supposed to learn from feminism? Women aren't just their husbands, they're their own people. The fact that she decided to fly a flag upside down does not mean anything about January 6th or Stop the Steal or anything else as it relates to Samuel Alito. Whoever on the left, and you know, it's like, I don't know, honestly, when you look at the left, who is married. I don't know. Honestly, I don't think very much about the private lives of our Supreme Court justices. The left seems to do that all the time. But like, we've got three liberal Supreme Court justices. I frankly don't even know if any of them are married. I don't know much about them at all. I don't know what their personal lives are. I know there's been a bunch of speculation about some of them, but I have no freaking idea. Don't care. Don't care at all. But if one of them had a spouse that would really liked communism, that would not be a reason for the Supreme Court justice to not be on the Supreme Court. You judge individuals based on their individual characteristics. That's how life is supposed to work in this country. Now, these are the same people who will keep radical professors in their jobs forever. Even if they say Osama bin Laden was right, they get to keep their jobs because of some little college rule called tenure. But we're supposed to ignore, apparently, the lifetime appointments of Supreme Court justices because their wives fly flags outside their houses that are on the beach. It's completely ridiculous. I don't want to learn about their personal lives. I don't want to learn about what their spouses believe. I don't care about any of that. This is, you know, one thing we can look at when we look at whether Samuel Alito is a good Supreme Court justice is look at his time on the Supreme Court. We don't need to guess about what his opinions are based on what flag he's flying. Now, maybe before he was a Supreme Court justice, you might consider that type of thing. You know, back in 2016, you might look at Donald Trump and say, okay, this is his life. These are his policies as stated. Will he be a good president? You might say there's doubt there. I certainly had tons of doubts as to whether he would be a good president. But looking at 2024, you're not going to base that on what he believed back in 1985. You're going to base that on how he was president of the United States. Did you like that term or did you not like that term? The same goes for Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas and Sonia Sotomayor. That's what you base this on. You judge them based on their opinions, which, by the way, they very graciously write down every time. You can go back and read them. Read their opinions, and that way you can judge whether they're a good Supreme Court justice. But frankly, there's not much you can do about it at this point. They've got lifetime appointments. That's where we are, and that's how our society operates. At some level, you expect this nonsense, like the Clarence Thomas stuff from ProPublica. They're a left-wing journalism outlet. They're overtly partisan and at least left. So you kind of expect that. The New York Times is supposed to be doing better. Now, I know they suck, and I know we say this all the time, but like they're supposed to at least try. And or at least give the appearance that they're trying, and they seem to have given up on this. The media is so desperate to get a Supreme Court justice harmed in some way, and sometimes I honestly think maybe it's physically, but at least reputationally, they want to get them harmed, and they'll do anything to do it. It's embarrassing. It's pathetic. This past week has been a complete and utter disgrace, and anyone involved in this nonsense that they're trying to do to both Thomas and Alito, and not to mention Amy Coney Barrett and others, it's embarrassing. Give it up. Just look at the Constitution. Make your arguments. maybe you'll win. They won for 50 years on Roe versus Wade. I'm sorry you lost one freaking decision. I know how much it devastates you. I know how devastating it is to not be able to kill your kids. But at the end of the day, we have a system in place and you have to honor it. Look, Nachos Bel Grande will only get you so far in life. You need to have the fruits and vegetables that mommy told you to eat. It's important, and it can be difficult as well for the average person. The average person doesn't even eat half of the recommended servings in a day. It's a huge gap of nutrition, and that's why you have Balance of Nature. Balance of Nature can provide an on-the-go solution. They have a proprietary blend of 31 fruits and vegetables, and it comes in little capsules. So, you know, you're just like, oh, hey, I just had Nachos Bel Grande. Pop a couple of those. You're going to feel a lot better about it. Try to eat 31 different kinds of produce in a single day. You're not going to do it. Okay, that's not going to happen. But Balance of Nature, they can make you do that in just seconds. Balanceofnature.com. You'll get 35% off plus $10 off any additional sets with your first order as a preferred customer by using the discount code STU. That is limited to 5 sets. But you're going to save a ton of money while getting the fruits and vegetables you need in your diet. Balanceofnature.com. Use the promo code STU for 35% off. It's balanceofnature.com. The promo code is STU. Get 35% off now at balanceofnature.com.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Tchibo. In jeder Cubo Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffeegrande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Tchibo-Filiale und auf tchibo.de.
I'm happy to welcome David Harsanyi to the program. He's senior editor for The Federalist and a columnist at National Review. David, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, appreciate it. Before we get into some other stuff, we just did a monologue on the Samuel Alito family's flag flying practices. These are very controversial, as you know. And I kind of expect this sort of nonsense from ProPublica going after Clarence Thomas. The New York Times is supposed to be, a slightly more elevated place. Apparently it is not.
Well, Jody Cantor, who wrote that, I think she was at Slate. I forget where she was, but she's just an anti-court activist. So I think trying to delegitimize that institution is kind of now a big project for even the biggest, you know, newspapers. So I'm sure that we'll hear more soon.
Yeah, it is. It is fascinating. I mean, like, you know, here's a guy who's been, you know, obviously central to his life is the history of the United States. He's a Supreme Court justice. It's like, well, I think we saw that flag at January 6th, so therefore it's a stop the steal flag. I mean, this is complete and utter nonsense, isn't it?
Well, the appeal to heaven flag, especially Ron Swanson on Parks and Rec has it on his desk. You know, it was once, I believe, maybe the Maine state flag. I'm not sure about that, but definitely something to do with Maine. Yeah, so it's kind of silly. I think it's just social conservatives like that flag and they have for a few hundred years. So, yeah, this is like the thinnest. I mean, the stuff, you know, they've been going after Clarence Thomas for years, trying to just smear him. And I think they've just run out of ammo there. So they're just looking for something on others.
It is absolutely amazing. OK, well, I wanted to bring you on, though, to talk about a turn on the right, which makes me very uncomfortable. I think it does make you uncomfortable as well. It was this seemingly this turn against the free market. I can't believe I'm saying that, but you had a little back and forth with Marco Rubio this week. He says, another day, another attack on common sense economics by free market fundamentalists in The Wall Street Journal. You know, talking about attacking conservatives who support tariffs and industrial policy. Like, I can't believe this. As you point out, common sense is usually a euphemism for having no defining or consistent principles. This is very true. But David, for my entire life, these are the words of attack by liberals against conservatives, free market fundamentalists. It's just industrial policy. Don't worry about it. What is going on right now?
Well, there's been a turn since Donald Trump came to power in 2016, you know, mostly because he is pro-tariff. I think that a lot of sort of intellectual types on the right have embraced this and taken it to a place where I think they probably would be feel more comfortable voting with Bernie Sanders on economic policy than some Reaganite, you know, in the past. So Marco Rubio is a leader in this. He keeps calling it common sense economics. He mocks people for embracing like Reagan era economics. What makes me laugh about that is he calls it antiquated, where he's literally embracing mercantilism from like the 1800s. You know, he thinks he's like stumbled onto some new idea, but all it does is hurt American workers. You know, the disposable income they have for having more affordable goods is spent on new industries and new jobs. And, you know, but the emotional appeal of this kind of policy, which we've seen from the left forever, is that you're going to save a few workers' jobs. And it's true. There are a lot of industries that, because of creative destruction or whatever, you know, go out of business, and we need to have new industries. I mean, that's how the economy grows and works. But they think this new technocratic person like Marco Rubio, he knows better. He knows where the economy is going to go, and he's going to have you in a safe, you know, job on a factory floor somewhere, where you're a member of a union and you live this perfect life. And, you know, he's constantly romanticizing, not just him, these types are constantly romanticizing the past. And I'm not saying everything was terrible in the past, but many things are a lot better. And the things that aren't better, I don't think are not better because of the free market.
Yeah, I mean, I just, it's so strange. I mean, Rubio, this isn't brand new. You wrote a piece about it years ago about Rubio kind of changing. I mean, because this is somewhat new to Rubio over the past, what, 5 or 6 years? I mean, when he came in as a sort of Tea Party guy, this wasn't the pitch. It wasn't a pitch for tariffs and higher taxes on Americans and manipulating industrial policy. What led to this change for him? I mean, he wasn't a Donald Trump fan at the time.
I don't want to be too mean, but I feel like he's the type of guy who will go wherever the trends take him, you know. So he came in as a Tea Partier. Now, you know, he's one of these national conservative populists who are so, and for good reason, you know, they're skeptical of elites. They're skeptical of big institutions, which have in many ways failed us. But they've taken that now to a place where they're driven by emotion and not really thinking. So, yeah, there's a great emotional appeal to tariffs, to isolationism in a way. And I'm not, you know, saying they're all that way. And every new generation, I think, just have to keep fighting the fights over and over again. Every new generation thinks that they have the mind and the mind and the skill set to sort of shepherd the economy in a way they want it to go and to make it work for everyone better. I think history gives us, all the lessons of history say that that is not going to be true. I always ask them, well, where is this utopia that you're talking about? Where has this worked? Where has your kind of industrial policy worked? Where has it made life better for the working class? And, you know, they don't really answer that question. I don't think there is such a place.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the things I'm more surprised about, because as you point out, kind of everybody wants to rule the world, right? Everybody thinks that they can come up with a perfect solution to all these things. I've got like 15 changes in Major League Sports that if they just implemented, they would be so much better. And they just never listen to me. Everybody thinks they've got the best idea. But like, I'm surprised that the right seemingly is giving up on the idea that capitalism has worked, right? Like there's this, I mean, for my entire life, it was like, hey, we're taking billions of people out of poverty. We've improved life. Look at the difference between the cars we drive and the technology that we have. The lives we live, we work fewer hours to get the basics of clothing and shelter than we ever have. And while there are real arguments to be upset about and reasons to believe we could be better off even than we are, there is this overall arc of capitalism that has improved things since it's been implemented and really whenever it's tried. And it seems like the right is in the mood right now to just say, throw all that out. Let's give these other things a try. And you know, times are too serious to stick to these old ideas. And like, I don't know, don't we have to recognize that we've had an immense amount of success mixed in with some admitted failures?
Well, I think the fundamental argument is actually about, are we better off now than we were before? And I think many of the people on that side, on that populist economic side, will tell you that things are worse now. And they'll, like Rubio, he'll say, you know, we can't measure prosperity only in, you know, how cheap TVs are. Well, of course, no one says that. I measure prosperity in the size of our homes, or the medical advances that we've made, or the people who survive cancer, or the way that we can live our lives. So I think because fewer people go to church and fewer people having children and young people don't get married, like all these cultural forces, they blame on the free market, you know, in part. They think that it's out of control, that it's not they always say it's not a means into of its, you know, of itself, like just having capitalism doesn't make any sense. I actually think it is fine on its own. I think it creates virtue. Or not it creates virtue, but I think that people, virtuous people, benefit from capitalism if they like. So I think that those cultural problems they talk about and are worried about, and I'm worried about in many ways, do not have anything to do with our success, you know, in prosperity. We have better jobs, we live better lives. I mean, I've made this, it's one of my least popular arguments that I make, that life is better. People get so mad about it. They like I'm old enough to remember the 70s and they romanticize these times. And I don't think people really understand how gloomy life was for a lot of people in those days. I'm not saying it was, you know, everything was terrible. Yeah, maybe it was easier for a young person to afford a house or something, right? I'm not saying that that's not true. But the way to fix that is not to try to, you know, adopt policies they use in China, where the GDP per capita GDP is $11,000 or something. We're at like $78,000. So it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I will say, first of all, the most unpopular arguments are always the ones I want to bring people on to talk about. So but I do think that's true. I mean, certainly globally, I don't think there's any argument against it, that capitalism has improved things so much. And yeah, there might be bits and pieces you can talk about. But I'm fascinated by, like, even the left right now, who is doubling down on these same policies. I mean, you know, Donald Trump and Joe Biden on trade sound pretty freaking similar. These new tariffs on China, which, you know, again, I'm no fan of China. What I find fascinating about it, though, is that these are all on these green technologies, which we are told is our largest existential threat. If we don't have these technologies, the whole world is going to die. Yet here we are putting 100% tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles. I mean, these arguments don't seem to work together.
No, they're not consistent. I mean, you know, I think electric cars are actually not a tech innovation. I think it's actually going backwards. Yeah. They don't provide anything that I don't already have in my car, gas powered car. But let's say they are. I mean, wouldn't we want the Chinese government to subsidize that and make it cheaper for us to have? I mean, or wouldn't we want more competition so that we innovate better? Or wouldn't we want more people to own them? I mean, if the Chinese can create these cars at a cheaper price, why not, right? But yeah, there's 100% tariff on that now because we're protecting unions and we're protecting the mandates that have been implemented by the Biden administration. So in the end, the car company, there's a giant moral hazard here. The car company knows that they can make, I think Ford said they were losing like $100,000 per car they build or something like that. Doesn't seem like I wasn't a business major or anything. It doesn't sound like a great plan, business plan, you know, from my perspective, but, they know that even if they fail, we're going to bail them out. We're going to bail the union out. We're going to bail the company out because they're doing something that the government wants. But if you really wanted that, as you say, if you really wanted to implement those kind of policies and you wanted success in green energy, in green technology, in clean energy technology, or whatever they call it, you would definitely want more competition and you definitely want cheap labor making in other countries making your vehicles so that we can do better things, that we can come, you know, we can use the money we save to build better industries. I mean, literally the way you grow is that you're more productive making something, you have an extra dollar and you spend it on something else to build a new industry, but they don't want that, it seems. And, you know, we all know where that ends sooner or later. So hope people come to their senses.
It's amazing to watch. It's amazing to watch. Hopefully people come to their senses. David Harsanyi, senior editor for The Federalist, columnist for National Review. David, thanks so much for coming on the program, man. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you.
So while you were sleeping, Joe Biden spent another $7.7 billion of your money. They canceled student debt of 160,000 borrowers. This, of course, is not a cancellation of student debt. There's no such thing as a cancellation of student debt, at least in this particular instance. What it means is that instead of the people who borrowed the money to use it for college paying it back, you're going to pay it back, even though you had nothing to do. You don't even know who they are. but congratulations, you're now paying and on the hook for their student loans. I hope you're happy about that. This is now bringing the total to $167 billion, despite the fact that the Supreme Court has already said you can't really do this. They will probably get challenged again. A lot of this will probably get reversed. But just to keep this in perspective, the purchasing of the voters he's trying to purchase here has now cost $167 billion. That is more than the budget of the U.S. Army. Expensive election. I guess when you have a terrible candidate who can't speak, it's really expensive to get them to try to win an election. Hopefully, eventually, this gets overturned as unconstitutional. But then what happens to these poor people who think they no longer have loans and now have to pay? I mean, it's going to screw up their financial plan for sure. Just some advice to you. If you're getting this refunded, I guess, quote unquote, congratulations. You're welcome, by the way. I'll be paying for that. At the end of the day, I probably wouldn't spend the money that you're saving. Maybe hold on to it in a separate account just in case you have to pay it back later. Nikki Haley says she's now going to vote for Donald Trump. This is, I guess, kind of a question. This is following their disputes during the Republican primary. I'm not surprised. I mean, you know, her point was basically, look, the things that are important to me, there are a lot of things I disagree with Donald Trump. But obviously, Joe Biden is worse. He's been catastrophic on these same issues. So I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. People are saying, well, she endorsed Trump. I don't know. Does it count? What is an endorsement? I mean, to me, an endorsement is saying, not necessarily saying I endorse Donald Trump as much as saying I think you should vote for Donald Trump too, right? Like I'm voting for Donald Trump and you should vote for Donald Trump. That's to me an endorsement. You're saying, you as an individual voter should be influenced by my opinion to vote for a particular candidate. This is, of course, one of the reasons I will never in my life endorse a candidate. I never have and I never will in my entire life because you know what? You're supposed to make that decision. You're a big boy or a big girl. You can pick who you think should get your vote. And that politician, by the way, should have to earn it. So if you don't think one of these politicians is earning your vote, then don't give it to them. It's not yours or it's not theirs to have and you're stealing it away from them. It's yours to give. You make the decisions. Don't listen to endorsements. Just vote for who you think the best candidate is. That's my advice, at least. And finally, Kansas City Chiefs Patrick Mahomes is defending Harrison Butker. And in an example of exactly how you're supposed to live life, let me give you this from Patrick Mahomes. He says this: I've known him for 7 years, talking about Butker. I judge him by the character that he shows every single day. That's someone who cares about the people around him, cares about his family, and wants to make a good impact on society. We're not always going to agree. There are certain things that he said that I don't necessarily agree with. But I understand the person that he is and is trying to do whatever he can to lead people in the right direction. That's it. That's how you handle a situation like that. You know, I know that thing's gone viral. Look, I know who he is. I like the guy. He's trying to do his best. We don't always agree on everything. That's okay. That's how Americans are supposed to interact, not supposed to do all these other crazy things we're seeing right now. Good example of this would be Fannie Willis. Fannie is trying to put Donald Trump in prison. But, you know, she just won a re-election. Thankfully for her, she doesn't have to execute on her new side hustle. We'll give you a preview of her side hustle coming up. You're welcome. And I'm sorry. There are those who lead and there are those who follow. And when it's time for you to buy or sell a home, especially in this housing market, you need someone who leads. You need someone who knows what they're doing. Glenn got so fed up with follower types years and years ago, not to mention leader types that didn't know what they were doing. He started realestateagentsitrust.com because he didn't want you having to go through all the hassles he had gone through every time he moved. And when you're in radio, you move a lot. Okay, you know, you get fired like every 3 weeks. So you're always moving. You get to be an expert on the real estate market. Realestateagentsitrust.com pairs you with the best real estate agent in your area, someone who knows the best practices, who understands the crazy housing market, who is a team leader, a closer, someone you can trust. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, your largest purchase, your largest investment probably in your entire life, please get in touch with realestateagentsitrust.com. It's a free service to you. The name kind of says it all. Realestateagentsitrust.com. It's realestateagentsitrust.com.
It's 11:32 p.m., but you're not ready for bed. You're lonely, but you don't want to be alone. You don't need a booty call. You need a fanny call.
Fanny call.
Fanny Willis.
We were very good friends, but we're talking about sex, so let's just don't.
Hot. Sexy. sassy Fanny. Now, only $7.99 for the first call. You'll get all the private temptations you desire from Foxy Fanny Willis.
That's my private life. She's not any mystery to anyone. It's like a woman doesn't have the right to keep her private life private.
And your second sultry Fanny call is absolutely free.
We didn't say, oh, the bill is $102. You give $51, I'll give $51.
Thinking of a menage a trois? Well, call number 3 is free as well.
I don't operate like that with my girlfriends. I don't operate like that with anyone.
But that's not it. When you get your Fanny call on, get ready. Because you're about to get 2,000 calls from Fanny Willis, absolutely free. And guys, no topic is taboo. She'll whisper to you the ultimate locale for a romantic dinner.
Maybe we would have went to Mellow Mushrooms for pizza, or maybe he would have come for lunch. I'm sure we went by each other's office, though.
She'll share her secret getaways and dream destinations just for your ears.
I actually took a trip to Houston and visited the district attorney in Houston.
Oh, yeah. For 10 straight months, Fanny will keep calling and calling and calling. That's right, boys. Fanny Willis is about to call you 50 times a week. There's so much more, baby. You're also going to receive 12,000 of the most sizzling text messages you've ever marked as read. That's 300 times the SMS sexy every single week. More than 40 of the most titillating texts you've ever received from a district attorney. Dirty and daily. But that's not all. You'll also get numerous mandatory lunches and dinners, a minimum of 35 home visits. And Fanny will accompany you on luxurious vacations to Belize.
Where's Belize? What continent is it? I'm not being funny, I don't know.
Along with Miami, Napa Valley, and the Bahamas.
I'm not sure what continents those are on. Whatever continents those are, that's where I've been. I'm sure if I gave it some thought, I would tell you. But whatever continents those are that I've been to, those locations.
Everything is included. All expenses paid by your business card. And no matter what you do, the calls will never stop. Fanny calls from Fanny Willis. Call 1-900-THICK-FANNY. The Fanny train is chugging. Climb aboard, boys.
Void where prohibited by law. Warning, when mentally removing the clothing of Fanny Willis, remember, she's probably wearing her dress backwards. Using the Fanny call service to force a suicide attempt of an enemy, coworker, or underperforming waiter at Mellow Mushroom is strictly prohibited. Fanny Calls LLC will not be held responsible for any effects, real or perceived, of Fanny Calls causing erectile dysfunction. Fanny is very aware of this effect and promises not to berate you in any way, except for occasionally discussing it in open court in front of a national television audience.
I'm not going to emasculate a black man. Did you understand that?
All guarantees made by Fanny Calls LLC expire when she's put in prison, but will immediately resume assuming good behavior after 8 to 10 years.
Fanny Willis.
With the elections coming up, I think it's sane to expect things to get even crazier than they already are, especially when it comes to freedom of speech and how hypocritical the left is when it comes to it. To them, it's okay to chant from the river to the sea, but you calling our border crisis an invasion is a crime. We already know that big tech is doing everything in their power to suppress the truth. They even collide, you know, with all of our rights, and they collude with the government to do so. Do I need to remind you about Hunter Biden's laptop, for example? You better believe that getting the truth to you is going to be even harder than it is at this moment. Right now. So here at Blaze TV, we're here. We saw this coming. We've been dealing with it for a while. It's why this network was created. Blaze TV and Blaze News is a place where I can speak freely with no repercussions, a place where viewers can be part of the solution and ensure that they can't cut us off from each other. Consider supporting Blaze Media, where our mission is to set fire to the lies that the left wants you to believe. Not only will you get this show, but you'll have access to tons of other great stuff, including The Radio Show, Pat Gray Unleashed, so much great stuff, as well as Blaze Originals. That's a documentary series. I've got one of those coming up here in a month or two. Steve Baker's great reporting on the January 6th situation, and so much more. Go to blazetv.com and subscribe today. And when you do, be sure to use the promo code STU. Get $20 off your subscription. Promo code is STU at blazetv.com. /Stu. By the way, you can get the Fannie Willis bit as part of your Blaze TV subscription. If you're a subscriber, you can check that out on my channel, as well as getting it on youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Go there, check it out now. Making fun of Fannie Willis is so much fun.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer?